I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network, and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Michael O'Brien. Michael helps sales and marketing leaders who are juggling it all slay the internal feelings of worry and doubt so they can accomplish complete success. Before starting his executive coaching firm, Peloton Coaching and Consulting, Michael spent over two decades in the pharmaceutical bio industry in roles that range from sales to marketing to executive leadership. He's also lucky to be alive. On July 11, 2001, Michael was struck head-on by a speeding SUV while out on a training bike ride. He considers it his last bad day and shares his journey from being a human doer to a human being in his best-selling memoir, Shift, Creating Better Tomorrows, and he donates all the proceeds to the World Bicycle Relief. Michael, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, David. Totally psyched to be on. I've listened to multiple episodes and happy to be part of, you know, your family of guests. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I'm pleased to share with you and with our audience that this is episode 400, which is a bit of a milestone. And I'm really glad to have you on for this episode.
Very cool. Well, my favorite number is four. So, obviously 400 is a factor of four. So we're in good energy, right? Good spirit.
That's great. And, given the introduction, I guess it's appropriate to start by talking a little bit about this trigger incident that I suspect changed a lot for you, which was the accident.
Yeah. So that what I affectionately call my last bad day. So I can paint the picture for folks. So prior to July 11th, 2001, and just sort of setting the period, that was before Facebook and before LinkedIn and sort of before podcasting and a whole bunch of other things, before Twitter. I was a young guy in his 30s, married 7 years, had two daughters, still have two daughters. They were 3.5 years old and 7 months old at the time. And I was a marketing director for my company's flagship product. So a really big job. If there was LinkedIn back then, my profile would have been pretty good. Like, pretty good job, pretty good life, right? Sort of living the American dream. But I was stressed, right? I thought I had to be Superman at home and I had to be Superman at work. And I tried to put on a good front, but I was just pouring a lot of stress inside. So as I mentioned, I was a really good human doer. I was sort of living a life of sort of do, have, be, sort of that classic that I learned from Zig Ziglar back in the day. I'm old enough to remember Zig. And I thought, this is what you're supposed to do. Work really hard to do, have all of your material possessions, like the house and the car and all that jazz. And then you would be happy, right? So it would be an outcome of all that stuff. And that's how I was living my life, sort of like this hamster on its wheel chasing happiness. And then I had a corporate meeting. Probably a lot of people that are your listeners have been to a meeting like this back in their corporate days before entrepreneurship, where I flew out to New Mexico, north of Albuquerque, south of Santa Fe, and arrived on Monday. We're supposed to depart on Friday. And I thought, hey, what a great opportunity. We're going to go to New Mexico in the summer. I've never ridden my bike, avid cyclist. I wanted to ride my bike in all 50 states. So I was like, I can cross New Mexico off my list. And I brought my bike out and I thought it was also a good way to avoid the hotel gym, get some exercise before sitting through hours of PowerPoint, right? As these meetings were. And I woke up early one morning, that morning of July 11th, and I was doing this loop around the hotel property. It was about a 2 mile loop. And I came around one of the bends on the, like on my fourth lap to be, you know, we mentioned four. On my fourth lap, an SUV had crossed, a Ford Explorer had crossed into my lanes fully, totally in my lane. I had nowhere to go, had no time to react. And I remember the sound of me hitting his grill and then smashing into his windshield and the screech of his brakes and the thud I made as I came to the asphalt below. And that knocked me unconscious, as everyone could imagine, right? And then eventually the EMTs arrived. I regained consciousness and I knew like life was in its balance. I was in the worst pain I ever felt in my life. Even the thought of moving was painful. And I tried to cut the tension because there was a lot of tension in the air with some humor, as I normally try to do. And I asked the EMTs, like, how is my bike? Because that's one thing us cyclists always ask if we crash. We want to know more about our bike than our body. And they just looked at me like, this guy's crazy. Long story short, they eventually called the helicopter to take me to the University of New Mexico at Albuquerque, the only trauma one center in the state. I knew that I might not make it. And as the helicopter landed, I remember telling myself, if I live, life would be different. I would stop chasing happiness. And then I went off to the hospital, a 19-minute flight and 10 hours of surgery, and then 4 days in the ICU. And then I eventually came out and started learning about what actually happened.
And fast forward, what do you do now?
Right now I'm an executive coach. So I help all the executives out there, people like I was before my last bad day, get rid of those negative self-narratives that hold us back, that self-doubt, the worry, the imposter syndrome, the shame, the stress, all that stuff, so they can achieve complete success. So they can have all the external markers of success, the cars, the houses, all that jazz, but they can be happy within. So they can have success within themselves, as well as all the external success that we, you know, people go after, which is totally cool. And what I call that complete success. So now I help sort of slay those negative stories, those gremlins, the inner critic, so they can achieve that.
How does one achieve that kind of happiness without having a life-threatening accident?
That's a great question. Well, hopefully, you know, people, when they hear my story, they realize that they don't have to wait for their speeding SUV. So I try to help them avoid that and sort of take the lessons from my journey and my experience to apply it to their own life. So one way that I did it, I realized I had to flip the script. So instead of doing a do have be type of lifestyle or way of showing up in the world, I switched it to a be, do, have. So, you know, wake up every day with the intention of being happy, as an example, then doing the things that happy people do, like kindness and empathy and gratitude. And as a result, actually having more of that. So that's the first step. But, I think other steps along the way is the awareness, like your self-awareness in terms of like what's holding you back. Right. And really the conscious act of choosing to show up with a belief that we have a lot to focus on, where we have gratitude, the stuff that we can do, the stuff that we still have, the stuff that we can leverage to generate our success. In the early days of my recovery, I just fixated on all the things I didn't have and couldn't do. And I realized that if I was going to become the best I could be, I had to actually shift my mindset. Hence the title for my book, that I had to show up differently. And that was really the start. And you know, it wasn't linear. It wasn't a light switch moment, like any entrepreneur will know. It's a choppy road. It's ups and downs and potholes and twists and turns. But I believe that, you know, with resilience, it just sort of keep pedaling, that I could actually achieve that inner happiness by showing up every day, choosing to be happy and really appreciating what I had and trying to build upon that each and every day.
So Michael, you had a major trigger incident that was very traumatic. And I know from kind of work that I do and people I serve who are probably not so dissimilar from people you serve, that making that kind of mindset shift that you just described is not easy. And it takes an investment of time and often money to be able to get some help to make that kind of shift. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about how, particularly without some sense of urgency that may be triggered by an external incident, how to overcome what may be sort of normal resistance to making that kind of internal change that's needed, and also devote some time and some money to the process, how to overcome that sort of normal resistance to make the kind of shift you just described.
Yeah, no, it's a great, really great question, David. And you know, certainly a lot of people, you know, the investment and the resources and the money are part of it. And I definitely want to address that part of your question. I think the upfront part for me was creating a, you know, to pull from like Simon Sinek, and I know Simon's a great guy, right? So, but he didn't develop why, you know, he just delivered one heck of a TED talk around why. But for me, like the urgency really came from understanding like what I wanted to become and like that best version of who I wanted to be. And so, yeah, I had this big event, and the big event definitely triggered the self-conversation that I wanted to have with myself, that I needed to have with myself, so I could stop chasing the happiness and say, well, what truly do you want in your life? You know, how do you want to live your life and live the fullest, richest, most purposeful life, and lose all the comparisons? Because before my last bad day, I was really good at comparison, right? Comparing myself against everyone else. And with that, there's a lot of self-judgment, just judging of others. And I lost all that. So yeah, my accident was a catalyst to lose all that, but also it was a portal to sort of step into. Like, I just wanted to be the best version of who I could be. And once I saw that, like, that's what I wanted, that really helped me with the urgency. And I think anyone can do that. Even if they haven't had such a big trigger event as I did, and such extreme, and certainly there's a whole bunch of people that have had different trigger events, and maybe some are macro in nature and others micro in nature. So I had to get really settled on and committed to the vision I wanted. I wanted to be the best husband and father and person I could be, and nothing more. I knew if I could just do that, then everything else in terms of my career would follow. Then, you know, before I started spending money, because the money I was spending was actually all my medical bills, I really worked on building what I call my Peloton. My Peloton is a metaphor for my tribe, my network, that I wanted to maximize my relationships with everyone. I wanted to improve them all, because I believe that our relationships drive our culture and our network, and having better conversations, not only with ourselves, but with others, actually makes that happen. So I got busy doing just that, like having the types of conversations I need to have with my wife and my kids and others and myself to start working on that. When I became an entrepreneur, when I finally left corporate America in 2014, then I did invest in myself. I invested in a coach and other resources to start helping me reach the next level, to sort of smash the plateau, right? And help me see the next level of the best version of who I could be. But early on, it was really sort of getting clear as to who I wanted to become and really working on my network of those around me. And that didn't cost any money. I only started spending money on this as I left corporate America to start my entrepreneurial journey.
Mm. So, Michael, I wonder if we could actually shift and look at what you've done as a solopreneur now that you've left corporate, and particularly for those people like you that are trying to help others through a transformation that may not be such a simple transformation. Do you have some advice or tips about how to help a prospect understand the value of that transformation, and essentially how to do better in a sales conversation?
Yeah. So for the prospects that I may be interacting with, what I try to do is really just connect with them as empathetically as possible to hear like where their goals are at, like what's like how they define the best version of who they can be, and like really what is holding them back? And usually it comes down to some of our limiting beliefs and that self-narrative that I just spoke about. And I try to like connect with that and try to like peel back all the layers of the onion and all the different cliches that we use to try to get to the core issue. Because once we can start talking honestly about the core issue, then we can start developing a game plan to like get beyond it. But what I try to do is I don't give them a formula. I try to make all my work sort of bespoke as far as like coaching. Like I'm not giving them like, okay, here's the finish line you have to strive for. I want them to be able to articulate it. And then I'm there for them to help them get there. And however they may define complete success. And with that, then they can show up better as a better sales leader, a better marketing leader, and be better in sales. Because I do believe whether we're a solo entrepreneur or in corporate America, we're all, whether we're in sales or not, or just finance or HR, that we're all selling something. We're all marketing something. We're all hopefully all have ideas for a better tomorrow. And we have to try to influence people that our idea is something that's worth listening to, worth hearing, and hopefully worth buying into. So, I usually start wherever they may be sitting. And the folks that come to me, have their variety of pain points. They describe them differently, but a lot of it comes down to how they're sort of getting all in their own way, right? And I think also as an entrepreneur, we sometimes get in our own way. We let that self-narrative get the best of us, and it holds us back from actually doing the work that we're so capable of doing. So that's sort of where I start with the people that may come to me. And then we work on other things too, like how to have better conversations back from the lessons I learned through my accident, like how to have a better conversation, not only with ourselves, but those around us, so we can build that network, we can build those relationships, and we can be better together. As cliche as that is, but I do believe that when we're together as a good network, as a good community, as a great society, we can get more things done. We can solve tomorrow's problems, which are becoming more and more complex as the days go on.
Right. And in that work that you're doing, where you're trying to solve tomorrow's problems and get the work done, what thoughts do you have about how to do it in a way that supports your business with consistent, stable revenue?
Yes. Oh, so a great, great question. So when I started my business, I left corporate America without any list. I had a LinkedIn profile, but it wasn't really all that active. And I wasn't on any other social media platform. So when I left corporate, I knew what I wanted to do. Like I knew I wanted to become an executive coach as I came out of the ICU back, right after my last bad day. So I knew I wanted to do this because I love building leaders and I love building culture, but I didn't really know anything about doing it. Like people started talking to me about their lists and all that stuff like that. So I first worked on just, my community, the network that I built. So my early clients were all part of my network, like that first degree connection. And then most of my business after was a result of a connection, someone that knew me or had worked with me, referred me out to someone else. And what I experienced in my first couple of years is a little bit of the choppiness, right? I didn't have a constant revenue stream. I had sort of the ups and downs that I think every entrepreneur deals with. Then I started adding other sources of revenue to sort of diversify my business, such as speaking and indirectly. My book is, leads to other coaching, right? So my book, I don't make money on it because I give all the proceeds away to charity. But I started building other things into my business so I could smooth out sort of the ebb and flow of executive coaching, like workshops. And coming up soon, I'm actually going to launch my membership site for corporate sales and marketing leaders as a great way to sort of have a constant stream of revenue, because it will be subscription-based or membership-based. And that will be in conjunction with my speaking and also my executive coaching. So I finally, feel like now with my business and in its fourth full year that I have really leveled out, not leveled out in terms of the ceiling, but sort of leveled out in terms of the smoothness of my revenue.
Right. And Are there any tips that you would offer for somebody who's trying to figure out not necessarily which of those types of revenue to develop and in what order, but how to take something that's been very one-on-one, kind of like what you've described, and figure out what's the kind of the core element of what to offer in a recurring revenue model?
Yeah, I would start with, you know, because that's one thing I was trying to figure out, like, how do I scale myself, right? So to smash the plateau and smooth out my revenue stream. And it, to be honest, it took me some time to get really comfortable with like what I really love to do. You know, there's this, you know, debate sometimes out on the internet about following our purpose or following our passion. And I think most things in life is a little bit of both. So I started, you know, experimenting with like, what's the stuff that I really love to do and how I can build that into that next revenue stream. And this is where I came up with the membership site, and I did my research, but also just it was what I felt comfortable doing. So for some people, it could be like doing courses and doing more teaching than coaching. And that could be something that would really speak to them. But I would say the first step is getting really comfortable with what content that you really love to share with the world and in what type of platform. And I think those two questions can give anyone some guidance as to how they want to step into that next revenue stream.
Right. I would also imagine being really clear with yourself on what problem you're solving and for whom, and then putting all those pieces together.
Absolutely. When I first started, I thought I was like, oh, I was super niche-y, but I was casting the net pretty wide. Like I think any beginning entrepreneur, and over time, you know, iteration after iteration, getting smarter and smarter about it. I mean, one could argue I could probably even niche it further if I wanted to, but you know, in the beginning, I was a little bit all over the place, right? I wasn't really as sharp. And, you know, I left a corporate sales and marketing executive position where we got really good at that, like from a corporate perspective. But when it came to marketing myself, I was a little bit all over the place. You know, I was a little wobbly at first, but I kept on working on it. I kept on studying other people, not to copy what they were doing, but more about their process, and getting more and more confident as time went on. And I was slaying my own self-doubt as an entrepreneur, even though I had a lot of passion behind it. You know, I still had moments where I had to sort of push through that barrier and break through and, you know, do new things and experiment and realize that experimentation is good. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn about what the market wants from you. And really, yeah, to your point, David, like what problem am I trying to solve? What are people coming to me for?
Yeah. So speaking of looking at what other people are doing, Michael, whom do you know personally who's done a remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
Well, there's one person, her name is Jasmine Starr, and I met her at the beginning of the year because I joined a mastermind that's run by a guy named Lewis Howes, who is really great in terms of online marketing. And I wanted to learn more about that as I stepped into 2018. I've met some really incredible people. They all happen to be much younger than I am, and they're doing amazing things online. And Jasmine is one person that has created like something incredible. And really, her platform is Instagram and how to actually do that better. And it allows me to connect, you know, better with my girls who are now 17 and 20. So I can be at least I get some cool points because I know Jasmine. But she's done a remarkable job of helping other entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs, mompreneurs, really understand how to leverage Instagram as a way to market their products and services. And I think she's just really, really intelligent, bright leader and entrepreneur in terms of niching and marketing. And, you know, and she's just a good person. And I've learned a whole bunch from her since the beginning of 2018.
Sounds like a great example. Michael, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
So what's coming up on July 1st, my membership site, which is called The Paceline, it's another cycling metaphor, goes live. So we've been beta testing it through the second quarter of 2018. So I'm really thrilled about this because there's really nothing like it out there for corporate sales and marketing folks who are managers and directors. So these are people who are direct reports or direct reports of the people I coach. the executives in their companies, the VPs and the chief operating officers. So I'm so thrilled to be able to offer something to this group to help them grow, where they have a lot of different resources, from books to tutorials to the ability to have one-on-one laser coaching sessions with me, but at an affordable price, something that's much cheaper than their Starbucks habit each month or their gym membership. So that launches, we'll open membership up at the end of June. We'll kick it off in July. I try to do things every July to celebrate my last bad day, because I consider July 11th my second birthday. So we're going to go live in July with the Paceline. So that's the big project I have going on that I'm totally excited for, because I think it really does solve a problem in corporate America.
Well, congratulations. It sounds great. How can listeners learn more about you, follow you, and check out this new membership site?
Well, the best way to go find out more about me is my website, which is MichaelO'BrienShift.com. Of course, you can Google me, and you can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all those places. But the best bet is go right to MichaelO'BrienShift.com. You'll see the page for the Paceline. Plus, people will be able to read a little bit more about my story. And if they want to pick up a copy of the book, my memoir, they can actually do that right there. There's a link to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And if anyone wants an autographed copy, you can buy one right there on the site, and I'll sign it and send it off to you.
Sounds great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Michael O'Brien, executive coach with Peloton Coaching and Consulting. Thank you, Michael, for joining us.
Thanks, David. And thanks to all your listeners for listening in. Hopefully we've been able to deliver a pearl or two to them today.
Sounds great. Well, thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.